Hi guys, playing the Xbox here?
Yeah.
Oh, what game is this? Awesome. Hello, where are you guys?
I'm Rachel. I work with the BB support team.
Hi Rachel, how about you?
And I'm Sishadri, I work with the C++ team.
Okay, so what kind of stuff do you guys do?
Currently, we are waiting for Xbox.
You're waiting your turn here.
And at work, we troubleshoot issues, to put it simply. And I specifically work with the Visual C++, C#, and the .NET technologies.
Okay.
And
how about you, Rachel?
I support Visual Basic 6, 2002, 2003, and 2005, and also the Visual Studio IDE, the integrated development environment.
Okay. So, why did you guys tell me about the toughest bug, or you know, like the Mission Impossible kind of stuff which you guys have worked on, cracked, you know, help people?
So you are basically asking me to tell all the issues that I worked on. Anyway, let me pick the toughest. So there was this developer from a Fortune 100 company who had called in, and it took 30 minutes to understand the issue. The English description, to understand the English description of the issue, it took 30 minutes. Simply put, he was working with the Japanese version of Windows XP and the Japanese version of Windows 2003, and his product was not working the way he wanted it to in Windows 2003. And not working here is probably a misguiding term. He was trying to create some stuff with specific titles, and in Windows 2003, the title, whenever he gave underscore to the title, it became an hyphen.
Wow.
So this is the issue that he gave us. And he told us about the issue and followed up. I am just more of reporting this because I am sure you will not be able to reproduce this, since this is going to involve at least two different operating systems, two different hardware, and two different versions of operating systems. And also, we needed SQL Server and Oracle database
to emulate the problem.
Exactly. So, well, I told him, no, we'll do it. We have a lab that specializes on setting up any kind of hardware that you ask for. Even same with software. In case we don't have either the hardware or the software, still no problem, we'll go and get them for you. Then I set up, with the help of the lab engineer here, I set up specialized hardware and software and worked with him. And you might have noticed that I at least spoke about two, three different technologies. One was the operating system, the other is SQL Server, and the other is Oracle, and the other one being the C++. That's why it came to me. And so I had to get in engineers from the other two teams, and then we were on call for around 10 hours totally over a span of 4 days. And then we found that there were a couple of issues there. One, he was doing something that he was not supposed to do, and he was not doing something he was supposed to do.
Okay.
So it basically took something like 9 hours to locate it, and around 9 seconds to fix it.
Cool. And that's how you say sign out of the problem.
Yeah, so it didn't well, but it's probably the toughest that I worked on, because any time to even look at the issue, we needed at least 4 people from our side and 2 people from the developer's end to make sure that we understand the issue. The first 2-3 hours were spent on setting up the necessary software, necessary hardware, and trying to simulate the issue.
Okay. Cool. So what else? Rachin, any other problem which you solved which you want to talk about?
I think like Sheshadri here said, most of the issues which, you know, the really tough ones take a very long time to solve. Like, we have issues that, you know, get resolved in 15 minutes, and we have incidents that, you know, take over months to resolve, depending on the complexity. So I would say the most difficult incident that I had to solve, or incidents that I had to resolve, the issues with memory leaks, or where customers use manage or unmanaged memory, and then, you know, they have a reference to unmanaged memory in their managed memory, and garbage collector moves stuff around there, and they don't have reference exception. Sorry, I'm throwing a lot of jargon. Yeah, but we see these kind of issues on a routine basis.
Okay, so Shaji, so tell me, what kind of people do you work with, and, you know, when you're solving the problems? I'm sure you have deal with a range of kind of people.
Exactly. So, as you said, it's a big range. At one end is a freshman who's just got his hands on an express edition of Visual Studio, and he's just trying to, you know, do some cool stuff. So these kind of people, every statement is filled with dudes and cool and things like that. On the other end of the spectrum, you have hardcore developers who has been using Microsoft technologies for around 15 years now, and they are probably seen it all, right from the MS-DOS, right from Windows 3.1 and everything. So these kind of people, you better be very careful about whatever you tell them. I mean, there's no such things like this is by design or this is the way it works. So this is typically a spectrum, and it's very hard to even tell who's going to be the next person that you're going to work with. For one moment, you're working with a normal developer, normal in the sense who you normally expect to bump off in a typical street in Bangalore.
Okay.
You know, who's been working with the latest software, and then from that to a guy who's been sticking on the same kind of language or the same software for 10 years just because he's so fascinated by it. So these are the typical range of people we work with. To tell you one specific incident, I was talking to this guy called Mark, and he had called in to ask us how to do one particular stuff in his program. So everything went on well. We spoke for around 2 hours, and then I worked for another couple of hours, and then ultimately we ended up solving his issue, and everything was fine. Then I sent him a mail asking if everything was okay, and if he can, if he needs some help, and he just replied back, "Yeah, everything looks good. Thanks for your help." And then in his signature, I find that it said Mark and Director of Engineering. So wow, I was working with probably a guy who has 400 people reporting to him.
Cool.
And I never realized that, and most times you don't realize that. So that's the kind of fascinating experiences you go through in terms of working with different people.
Mm-hmm. So we were talking about Bangalore and living here as a Bangalorean. Or should I say now Bengaluru?
Bengaluru, yeah. It's been officially changed.
Yeah.
Bengaluru.
So tell me more about how city life is here. What kind of traffic do you face here?
Traffic, yeah, you do face, but my 2 kilometers of commute takes only 2 hours nowadays.
Sorry?
My 2 kilometer commute to office takes only 2 hours nowadays.
It takes only 2 hours, right? Okay.
It takes only 2 hours, so I think things are getting slightly better.
That's a 2 hour commute one way?
Yeah. So the other way is a typical one day, and it might take 3 hours. So that's okay. I mean, we used to that. So actually, we look forward to those things, you know. We keep thinking about a lot of stuff. You are stuck in the traffic, you sit in your car peacefully, there's nothing to do. That's when you recollect all the stuff you did yesterday and say, okay, I should not have done this. So it's a moment of truth, moment of realization for us.
Thanks for listening to. Yeah, he was talking about the traffic of Bangalore, but I think the pop discos are better.
Okay, yeah. So how's the nightlife?
The nightlife is good, but sad thing is it closes at 11:30.
It closes at 11:30. Yeah, I figured that out myself as well. But that really sucks, isn't it?
Yes.
So, which is your favorite haunt?
A lot of them. I don't know. particular place.
But everything you want to share with our friends,
yeah? Yeah, we got this pub on MG Road. It's called Sticks.
Sticks. Okay, they that's your favorite.
Yeah.
So we have some more people here. What are your favorite haunts, guys?
Hey, well, I would definitely recommend Spins.
Oh,
Spins.
If you're looking for a good date, or you have a good date, you need to go out and have fun there.
Okay.
Place rocks.
Thank you.
Right, Tuscan Way for a change.
Oh, yeah.
Tuscan Way.
Yeah. Pretty good ambience.
Okay.
And
that also shuts down at 11:30?
Yeah.
The only relief these days is they open the dance floor so we can kind of go and enjoy the music and dance. People are more into dance.
Oh, so that ban has been lifted, is it?
Yeah.
So that's cool.
That's a huge relief. Otherwise, 11:30 is still the deadline, so no matter what part of
band
you are,
Okay, that's going to be the game, guys. So what else do you have to say about the city? How about the food, the cuisine?
Yeah, in the cafeteria?
Around here or even otherwise in the city?
In the city it's a normal South Indian fare, like masala dosa, idli, sambar.
Okay. Did you know Bill Gates' favorite Indian food is upma?
Upma is also...
That's what he said at the launch.
Official word is concrete,
right? Sorry, the official word is? The
official word for upma is concrete.
Maybe you're having it the wrong place. So there's someone hiding here. Who are you?
I'm Haseen.
Hi, Haseen.
I'm a team manager here with the Visual Studio support team.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So these guys work with you?
Yeah. Actually, Rachin and Sesh reported to me.
Okay.
So, you know, we typically support customers who are using Microsoft products and trying to help them unleash the product features and use them better.
Right.
That's what we do.
Cool. And what do you have to say about Bangalore?
Oh, Bangalore is a cool place. It's been a year since I moved in here. The weather is pretty good.
Yeah, the weather is awesome, sure.
Yeah, it's pleasant. And most of the people out here in India relocate to Bangalore just because of the weather. Though we have issues with traffic and infrastructure and stuff like that, but Bangalore is a cool place to stay. And especially for youngsters, it's a rocking place.
Awesome. Maybe we should do some shoots outdoors sometime.
Yeah.
And if you ask me, Bangalore is a city of Bangaloreans. You know the typical Bangalore guy whom you would bump into in the streets? You ask him, can you use the English alphabet? He goes, A, B, C, C++, V, C++. That's the kind of people you bump into. And one more thing, you might find someone without a head, but you won't find someone without an ID card.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's a common sight on the Bengaluru roads.
Yeah, so without an ID card and a cell phone. So that is something that you will not find. So,
what about golf courses?
There's a golf course right outside. Too much brightness there. So do you guys play golf too? So you usually playing this stuff?
Yeah,
Xbox. And the Xbox, of course. That's great. Okay, that's cool. So let's get back to our discussion. So what's your typical work day like here?
One day you start, you respond to a bunch of emails that you have got overnight, and then you look at the current issues that you are handling and chart out an action plan on what you do and stuff. And then just take each issue as they. We typically work with people from different time zones. We have people from the Eastern Standard Time, and then we have people from the Pacific Standard Time, and so on. So you decide, okay, whom to work with first, and then some. Probably there are a couple of things of higher priority that have just come up, so you work with that. So this is pretty much a typical day. So, then as you talk to them, you find the typical issue can either be something that they are doing incorrectly, or it's probably something that Microsoft needs to fix, what we typically call a hot fix. This is Rachin's favorite area of support.
Okay. So, what fix? Can you tell us more about that?
Okay, after we release a product, and then... maybe after a couple of months, customers come with some issues with that product, and then we realize, okay, that's a problem. We normally work with the development team and
create something what is known as a hotfix. So hotfix could just be a DLL or a few DLLs, parts of the application. Let me find that as a problem, and then we give that to the customer, and we also create a KB, a knowledge base article for it, and so that in the future customers who face the same kind of a problem can just go see, okay, I'm facing the same symptoms. They can call up product support service, be the PSS, and request for a fix.
Okay. So, knowledge base is basically an online thing, right? Which people can access.
Yes.
Okay. So, Rachin, about the knowledge base articles, right? How do these get created? Do you guys do them, or how does it work?
It's a long process. Let's say, for example, I come up with a solution, or the customer has a problem, and I search our internal knowledge base. We do have an internal knowledge base and an external knowledge base. So external knowledge base is what the public sees, the customer sees.
How is that different from the internal one?
The internal knowledge base is just case incidents that have already been opened, and it also includes the external knowledge base. It's a big search. It's a big repository of incidents that have been opened and resolved, and the external.
You mean what I call it, drafts and sent items.
It's not exactly drafts. It's just and history of each service request. Like, okay, this was the problem, what are the steps taken?
Okay, so from the Microsoft point of view?
Yeah, from the Microsoft. Yeah, it's internal. So, what happens is, if I get an issue, I normally, the first thing I do is I search the internal knowledge base website, and if I don't come with anything, I do some more research on that, and then probably my technical teams will tell me, hey, that solution is not there in our knowledge base. Why don't you create some content for it and put it in there? So what happens is once I the content which I create is. Could potentially become a knowledge base article.
Okay.
So it depends on the number of support incidents that are linked to it, like how many incidents were resolved with the solution that I created. And if they see like okay, there are 15 or more incidents which got resolved through my solution, then it's a potential candidate for becoming a knowledge base article, which we put on our external website.
Okay.
For customers to search. So customers can go to support.microsoft.com, put in whatever keywords they have to put in, and maybe my article could come up.
Thank you. So they usually come to you only if they don't find a solution in the knowledge base articles?
Yes. Yes, so most of our customers do some kind of a background research before actually calling us up. So there's a good chance that they would have searched our external knowledge base, and they might not have found anything there, and that's when they call PSS.
Right. So, Seshadri, can you tell me what is the difference between a hotfix and a service pack?
So, a hotfix is a hotfix. It is just meant to fix things. It's hard because it's an urgent need. So, Microsoft releases a lot of products, and there might be a couple of small glitches or slightly things do not work out the way they are supposed to. And once Microsoft notices that, then a small change in the code is made, and then people have what's called a hotfix. Hotfix typically affect one physical file or a couple of physical files.
Mm-hmm.
One hotfix will correspond to one particular issue as reported in a knowledge base article. Service pack is basically a collection of these hotfixes plus some new features. For example, XP, SP2. Whatever issues were found or whatever issues were reported by by the users of XP were incorporated into SP2, plus a whole lot of security related changes came in. And hard disk will never have a new feature, but a service pack will have a new feature. New feature, so how does the product team decide that it's going to be a new feature that they need to? There are a lot of channels out of which the PSS or the support group is one of the primary channels. So as time goes on, you talk to users, you talk to developers, and some of them say, hey, you know what, this feature, I think it would be a very good feature if you guys put it in your product. So you hear 4 or 5 people talk about it, then you take specific measures, we file a request for this, we call the program manager, and then they consider all these things, and it might make its way into a service pack. So this is the basic difference between a hard fix and a service pack.
Cool. Sounds good. Okay. Cool. So I think you guys must be handling a lot of problems at any given point in time. How do you actually, you know, categorize them, or should I say, you know, prioritize them?
We normally handle around, we normally have 8 to 10 cases or incidents that we are actively working with the customers. So we have something known as a severity level for each incident. So that is totally decided by the customer. So if the customer feels that his issue is not that
critical
or urgent, we mark it as a severity C, and maybe we touch base with the customer once in 2 days. The next level is a severity B. So we attempt to contact the customer every day, and we get into a severity A, and that a severity A issue is when we sit and meet with the customers when they come ask.
Okay.
So that's how we various cases in our team.
Cool. Chris, I think it's been great talking to you guys, but before I finish, why don't I ask you, what is the best part about your job? What do you enjoy most?
Good that you asked that. So, you work on an incident with the developers for 10 hours at a stretch or 15 hours, and then everything goes on. You feel really drained, you feel really tired. That's when the customer sends you a small mail. He says, you are the best that I ever worked with. Microsoft is the best place to come to when I'm getting into issues. That is absolute bliss. That is a very humbling experience if you're working with somebody and they say that you are the best and you helped me make my day. Which so that probably is the best part of my job.
Cool. Not the free coffee.
Or the Xbox.
Or the Xbox, of course. Okay, great guys. Thank you so much. It was nice talking to you.
Thanks, awesome.